Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Welcome, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and we're very excited to have very good friends and people that are leaders in our ministry, Sean and Janet Leone. Is it Leone or Leone? Or?
Leone.
Out of Houston, Texas. They got associated with our ministry through Steve and Carolyn Van Oudigan. And they've hosted retreats. You guys can, we'll talk a little bit about this, but you have a beautiful place on the beach in Galveston, so we get to use that. So, and Linda and I are going to plan and take you up and coming down and do an elective, and mostly because we want to be on the beach. No, because we'd like to help you, of course. So anyway, why don't you guys bring us a little bit reminder? You were on before. And we're just going to do an update of your story, but, you know, talk about, where you met and how many years you've been married and how many kids you got, where do you live, and then what kind of work you're doing. And then we're going to share some stories. So we'll just leave it, kind of start with you guys. I've just remind everybody of who are the Leones out of Houston, Texas.
Yes. Yeah. So Sean Leone, and Janet Leone, we met in 1989 in college, and we started dating in October of 89 and been pretty much inseparable since then. Got married in 1992, and we live in Atascocita, Texas. It's a northern suburb of Houston. We have been attending our same church since 1993 with the same pastor.
Wow.
Baptized our children, confirmed our children, married our children, and baptized our grandchildren.
Wow,
that's amazing.
It is amazing.
That's a beautiful thing. So you guys obviously you enjoy the church.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we love the church very much. I've served in different roles at the church, as Janet has as well. I served as an elder, then went to the board of directors, and I'm back on the board of elders currently with among some other ministries. And Janet's very active in the women's Bible studies and helping the leadership positions there as well. We have two children, 31 and about to be 29, and our 31-year-old has a 5-year-old son, so we have a 5-year-old grandson, and our 29-year-old has a 7-month-old granddaughter now.
Wow. Oh, congratulations. That's so exciting.
Yes. 7 months as of this week.
Oh, that's great. And let me ask you one question that might be helpful for us. I mean, that's remarkable how long you've been in one church with one pastor, mm-hmm. quite frankly, and the fact that you're still going there. So based on your perspective, what would you attribute the fact that you have a essence of what a church is always supposed to be, which is just an enjoyable fellowship? Obviously you haven't split, you haven't had people walk away, you haven't had, division. And the pastor is actually still there.
Yes.
So what do you attribute that to? What qualities or characteristics have you observed that a church can actually function the way that God intended?
So I would say, I think the pastor and the staff, I think the leadership is very, very humble. And the church has changed a lot. It was a very young church when we started,
sure.
and it aged with us. And now a lot of the children that grew up with our children are now coming back to the area and coming back to the church. So both of our daughters have come back and joined that church, rejoined. I think it's interesting. We haven't had a split in the sense that you normally think of churches splitting. But the church decided several years ago that they wanted the mission of the church not to be to grow a really, really big church, but to plant churches. And so the church has somewhat split several times because we've done numerous plant churches. And every time we plant a church, core members, longtime members, really dedicated members have stepped up and moved on to those churches.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about that, Sean mentioned, I'm really involved now in Tuesday morning women's Bible study. And a lot of the women that split to go to the other churches come back for Tuesday morning. So I was
That's sweet.
That's fun.
I think God has blessed the church because the church wants to be blessed to be a blessing. And that's been a big campaign in the church, that we're blessed to be a blessing and to go out and to be harvest workers.
Yes. That's beautiful.
Second, the humble nature, our leadership isn't about making a name for themselves. We don't have their names on the signs outside. It's not about them. They make it very much about God and the mission and God's mission. And I think that goes a long way. And one of the things we say a lot in our elders meetings is it's been mentioned many times is what makes our church special? We pray a lot.
I love that.
So I think spending that true intentional time in prayer with the Lord, I think makes a big difference.
It sounds like as you pray, you actually listen a lot too.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. With humility. That's a beautiful, we're just, that's such a wonderful thing. And we just pray that that church will continue to thrive and you'll be able to help others know what it looks like. Cause that's, you know, whenever I see something like that, it's like, wow, that's so unusual in today's age that you do have something special there. And the special isn't, it's not the place. It's not even the pastor. It's just the, like you say, it's the heart of that group that actually has a heart to follow God, and you guys are, and God's blessing you with, you know, the nice thing about a church like that is you have stability, you don't have consternation, you just have opportunity to worship and enjoy life, and sounds like your kids and your grandkids, you know, have all been through that with you, and that's kind of special, so that's cool. Is the, I think, Janet, you mentioned that, with the grandchild, you actually get to watch them, right?
I do. I have both of them. The granddaughter goes on Monday and Tuesday to daycare. The grandson is in preschool at the public school in our neighborhood this year. Kind of a fun God thing. He's not zoned for that school. They live in the neighborhood next to us. But pre-K at his campus was full. And they said, however, we have lots of slots at Maplebrook, which was the school that I retired from.
Oh, so sweet.
The principal, the administrative staff, lots and lots of the teachers. And it's been a great experience because he's been really sheltered and loved at that campus.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
That's a fun thing for you, right?
It is. It's fun. When I go up, I get to see old friends. So it's a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And then, Sean, why don't you bring us up to date? Tell us again how you wound up in the business you're at. You're an owner, obviously leader of it. How did you get there? And then tell us a little bit about the business itself.
Sure. So we're an intermodal trucking company. So we do pretty much anything that's imported or exported into the country. We started back in, really, this company, my father started in 88. He was in transportation a little before this company as well. When he started this one in 88, that's when I graduated high school. So I was already working with him even while I graduated high school and in high school. Then in 89, I joined him full time while I went to college as well, which is when I met Janet. And so I've been here pretty much full time the entire time this company's been in business, 36 years. He passed away about almost 11 years ago, and that's when I stepped up into the role of president and CEO and kind of took over the leadership. I'm very blessed. My mom and sister are still here, and my mom and sister were all kind of part owners together, but we are very equally yoked as far as our faith in Christ. We all go to church together still. We all live within 10 minutes of each other. And so it's really nice that there's never a question of what's right or wrong. We all have a sense of right and wrong. And I think that's been a huge blessing to us being successful. And we can disagree over maybe ways to handle certain situations business-wise, but we never disagree over if any one of us says, hey, I feel like God's telling me to do this. The other two are saying, well, then you do it. It doesn't matter what it is. So it's been a huge blessing. And so, so that's the business we're in today.
Yeah. And go ahead.
I say when my dad had passed, we were just here in Houston. And for some crazy reason, I decided we needed to grow. And so we opened up a terminal south of Dallas. Then the next year, we opened up a terminal north of Fort Worth, next to the two railroads that service those areas. And then we opened up in Savannah, Georgia, as well, next to the Port of Savannah.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
So do you then take supplies and materials from those places and deliver them to different places? Is that what you do?
Distribution center. So it's mostly stuff that comes in a full container. So we have a lot of furniture customers. We do a lot of plastic resin export. We do Dallas is mostly retail. So a lot of your big retail, big box customers have distribution centers in Dallas, and we take them from the port or from those two railroads up to their distribution centers where they unload the container. We'll return the empty container and then they'll split it out and ship it out to their stores.
Hmm. How many employees now do you have total?
Actual employees, we have about a little over 30, but if you count, a lot of our drivers are 1099 contract drivers.
Sure.
So a little over 200, including contract drivers and employees.
Yep. Well, that's a challenge, I know, with transportation. you got to have the truck and the people actually ready to move the stuff. Do you guys have to... the way you're structured, do you have to work much on weekends, or is it pretty much just 5 days a week?
I don't anymore. I used to work a lot on weekends and nights, and it was pretty much always on duty. We've kind of grown to the point where, one, processes help eliminate some of the need for that, but also we have other people that share some of that burden as well. So now I pretty much only work on weekends if some extenuating circumstance comes up that someone wants a bigger question answered.
Yeah, sure. Great. Well, we're thrilled of where you guys are and what you're doing and the company you have, and we'd love to have you give us an update on, you know, what has been your experience of how God has worked in your life and shown up His love and His power in your life, and how you have experienced it, and then if there is anything even now that you're, you know, working through. So, anything you'd like to share, just give us an update on. Stories and things that you could bear witness to what, you know, what God has been doing?
So I can say, I feel like God has been working and emboldening me much more. I've always not questioned it. People ask me, I would share my faith, but I didn't take that step out. And I find myself a lot more often. So one of the Bible verses I memorized was, the Lord will help you, will teach you what to say at that time. And so I prayed that a lot. And sometimes God answers your prayer and you think, huh, kind of like when you have little kids and you pray for patience. But I've just, there've been so many opportunities where somebody will say something and I just jump in and bite on it. Couple conversations with people at the Chick-fil-A line because they say, have a blessed day. And I'll say, you know, I hope God blesses you today. And people will share a lot of things with you when you open that door. And I've never had anybody respond in a hostile manner. I've had a few people who didn't just said, okay, and didn't go there. But I've had so many conversations with people. I was getting a massage this week, and the lady said something about a blessing, or something was a blessing. And I started in, and she talked the entire massage. It wasn't a quiet massage. She really was very, very open and asked some really pointed questions. And it was a unique experience. But those have become more and more and more frequent.
What, as you're, you know, using that word embolden, what has God been revealing to you and have you experience? And, you know, what in fact is he doing to strengthen that in you?
So one thing, back to the church in Luke 10:2. So the every day at 10 or 2 after 10, right, we pray that scripture. And I started thinking, I'm praying this for other people, but God has started pushing in me that it's not other people. I'm praying for church leaders and for students in seminary and all of those people, but that it's all of us. And I just feel like God has really been pressing on my heart that time is short. Mm-hmm. And that there are a lot of people who are seeking.
Yeah.
And that I need to be open to his leading so that I can respond when he calls, not hesitate, to not be silent and keep on speaking.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And as you, you know, you say you're being led by the Spirit, you know, when you're in those scenarios, what does that feel like? And where you get it, you understand it, it is the work of the Spirit, and you are called to say something. And even then, and we want to talk a little bit about, you know, how you go about that. Because I do understand, because you and I have talked about this before, is that it's not that you're called to, you know, give a 3 steps to anything. It's, well, I have something for you to say to just introduce the the conversation. So talk about, first of all, how do you begin? First of all, and we've heard one thing, and I'd like to reiterate that, is you said, God, I want you to, God said to you, I want to make you more bold. And okay. I'm willing to do that. And now I pray that God will open up doors for me to do it. So you didn't take it. And this is what I want to highlight for everybody, is you didn't take that and say, okay, every day I'm going to. No, that's not what he said. He said, I'll give you the opportunity. When I give you the opportunity, I want you to, you know, be able to speak up. So you kind of got that. Well, the question is, how do you recognize that opportunity where God says, yeah, I do want you to say something? Then we'll talk about, you know, how do you get going on that conversation?
So another part of this journey was a lot of abiding, that God speaks, not me. It's God's words, not mine. I don't have any words that are going to be good. It's not going to be good.
We had the prayer before we joined this podcast.
But that I would be open to his use, and that I wouldn't block it, and that I wouldn't say something that I'm not supposed to say, that it would be the Spirit speaking through me. Interestingly enough, a lot of times when I walk away from those conversations, I can't remember a lot of the details. It is like the Spirit spoke, it wasn't me. Thank you, God, that I didn't step out. And you ask how I end up in those situations. I've talked to Sean about this. It's just a word or a phrase, something that the person says that I think, okay. And one of the sermon series and Bible study series we did at church was recognizing a person of peace, being open that when the Spirit puts somebody in your path, that if you hear something that quickens that spirit within you,
yeah,
that you speak out.
Yeah. 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 That's a beautiful thing. And so, and again, we, God is asking us all to be in that position. And it's, and like you said, and it's really beautiful to have received that. And that comes through abiding is that, and this is how God talks to each of us and all of us is remember, you don't have to do anything. And by the way, this isn't about what you're going to say is what I'm mm-hmm. going to say. And if you recognize that, then you'll listen to what I have to say and speak what I have to say and you relax with it, you know, which you do. And then when you, and you use the word quickening is that, it's not that everybody you come across, it's that they will say something or do something and you'll know God said, here's your opening. This is it. And it'll be, it's called a quickening of the spirit. And all of a sudden you recognize it, that I see this as what it is. And I'm now going to be willing to let you speak through me. And he does. And then as you start to speak, how do you stay in that place where you are letting the Spirit talk and not you coming up with your own, you know, logic and plan and advice?
So in those moments, a lot of what rushes through my mind are different Bible verses that I've memorized and that through abiding, I've memorized and gone through those verses and those pop in my head. And I almost feel like that's God distracting me so he can say what he needs to say.
Wow. That's beautiful. Well, we're just thrilled to hear those stories. We're actually at the end of our session one. We'll come to session two and hear more of it. But it's kind of beautiful that, you know, God always wants us to know that we're part of the kingdom. We're part of the covenant, blessed to be a blessing. Blessing is speaking to others about what you have to say. And you'll, in a way, you know, as you're describing it, you're not even a lot of times going to know where that winds up. But God says your piece of it and something that you did and because you allowed me to speak to them, by the way, I can keep speaking to them. I don't need you. I got other people that can help them. And so it'll be interesting, you know, in eternity, we'll find out, you know, that when what's called the Bema seat and, hey, anybody that was influenced, you know, by Janet, you know, stand up and all these thousands of people stand up. Well, because she said this to my grandma who, you know, blah, 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 you know, and, so it's kind of cool. So thank you so much for sharing that, your story. I look forward to everybody tune in again, because we're going to have more beautiful stories. So thank you, Father, for using this wonderful couple that has a heart to let you guide them, you know, through even instructing them to be ready more for you to share your life. Don't be afraid of it. You'll show them how. They understood it's you, not them. And what a great example of the joy. We can see it. The joy of being used by that without the pressure of it. And so we pray for that to be true for all of us. Thank you for their reminder of that and the expression of that. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, guys. Janet, again, just a great example of how God spoke to you. He wants to embolden you. And then your simple yes and willingness and heart to do that, in the process, he is emboldening you, right? I mean, just the more you listen to his promptings and speak what he says speak, the more you realize I'm hearing right and God is using that and it emboldens you to share again. And I love just cooperating with the process of sanctification and the invitation he's putting before you is a great example to all of us. So thank you.
Yes.
So yeah, if anybody has questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. Thank you. See ya.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.